I'm glad that you're bringing the proper, like, respect to the recordings now.
Yeah,
you're classing it up.
I've been
the way that this ought to be.
I guess I've done this for a while, but I do this at work now too. I've just kicked back mode. I've got my feet up on the desk. Shelly doesn't like this because my feet point towards her desk, sort of. And she's like, that's your feet might stink. Not that they smell, because they don't. But she's
suggests
that you're putting
stink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you should just do
kickback. I forgot that you two share an office.
Yep.
Like,
we have matching desks, which is not, we're not really trying to match, but we happen to have matching standing desks, and we just sit next to each other all day. We hold each other's hands.
That's really cute.
I don't know that.
I think if Zoe and I shared if we worked out of the same room, we'd be like fighting over the sofa all day. We're both trying to slack off.
Mm.
We're both.
what do you guys do if you're at working at the same time?
That's right, because you two don't have like the same schedules necessarily, no. Right?
Well, mostly just because Shelly doesn't work that much, but I mean, as in she like sleeps in pretty late and then yeah. But no, we're not on like flip. We're not really on flip.
Thanks for clarifying.
Schedules.
Like, no, it's not that she's like able to get her work done in a like a short amount of time. It's because she is lazy and sleeps in really late. No.
But just
what you said.
We don't really do she doesn't really do a flipped schedule anymore. She works mostly US hours. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So, but what do you guys do?
I mean, she's just in another room. I mean, we're just in different rooms.
Mm. Do you have desks in separate rooms, or do you have a desk at? I mean, you have a desk that you're sitting at right now, I think. So,
yep.
Do you have? You both have separate offices.
Yeah, separate offices. Okay. This isn't even the desk that I use for work. This is my. Ooh. Well, it's not for my day job. This is the desk I use for my night job.
Nice. Is this the night job, or this is a different?
I guess
night
so.
Job? Okay. Nice. Well, I gotta say, Shelly and I. Where we save on offices, I make up for by buying drinking champagne during the podcast.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. You're
$7-$8 champagne from Costco. On the podcast.
Very good. This is it is the kind of energy that we need to have at the podcast these days. We do have a lot to celebrate.
Yeah.
And
OJ, out of here. This mm-hmm. podcast has been railing against him since the beginning.
Finally. You know, we've been manifesting.
Did your parents have an OJ take when you were a kid?
I'm sure they did.
I was about to say that my mom had a take, and it was like 92 or 93, I think.
Okay.
And she's just calling me now. I'm going to ignore her phone call, but
you should put her on speaker and ask her about OJ.
No, I don't want to know what her OJ take is nowadays, but
oh, no.
she probably fell down on the side of a lot of, what I understand of, white America, which
yeah, she was on the party line on that one.
On the party line. Gotta say though, I think he did I think he did kill his
I'm voting
wife.
Down ballot on that one too,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But
she was like, I just know that it's like 92 or 93 because she has made comment. I think it's probably 93 because she's made comments that she watched a lot of the trial while being pregnant with me.
Gotcha. 94.
Okay, well, guess that's wrong. And my birthday's wrong. Or she just misremembered. Who knows?
On the night of June 12th, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson was stabbed to death outside her home, along with her friend, waiter Ron Goldman.
That absolutely doesn't make... Okay, I believe you, though you have squashed yet another bit of family lore for my family. Mm-hmm. Because not only if it was June... Well, maybe it was the... If it was June 94, I'm already born, so it definitely wasn't me. If it's June 94, it can't possibly be that she was pregnant with my next sibling, because he would not have been conceived at that point, nor born. I guess that's implied by not being conceived yet either. But yeah. Anyway,
maybe you have a secret sibling, the way that the OJ sibling. What else is this man going to take from white America?
I gotta say, too, Shelly and I turned on the TV that night to watch Shogun again.
That night? That fateful night? June 94th.
The fateful night that's like Wednesday or Thursday or something like that last week. And we went to, I guess it's Hulu or whatever, we're watching Shogun on, and they had their OJ docu-series, not docu-series,
yeah,
the one with the David Schwimmer guy in it.
Is that the People versus OJ Simpson?
I think so.
And there's like two of them, right? There's like a Netflix version or something.
Yeah.
One of them people say is really good.
I think it's that one.
Okay.
I don't know. Cuba Gooding Jr. and David Schwimmer, I think. And I think that's who it is. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I thought you watched it in college, but okay, whatever.
I think I did.
Okay.
But I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, we were just kind of like, is that wrong? Another sort of like the, were white people really wrong on thinking that he killed his wife? We're like, is it wrong?
What's wrong? Oh, to promote it because he died? Or like, let's surface this.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, is gotcha. He? We're like, seems like a bad guy. Gotta still stick with that. Seems like he probably killed his wife. But still, is it wrong? I don't know. Like, on the night, actually, this is a better question. Not as many people were streaming back then. But like, on the night that, I guess it just didn't happen. On the night that they killed, I was going to say, on the night that they killed Osama bin Laden. You know, got to bring back to 9/11, as always. On the night that they killed Osama bin Laden and Obama did his announcement or whatever, like, we got him. Would they have changed like the Netflix homepage to be like Zero Dark 30, United 93, every other,
100% war on terror?
I guess probably, yeah, I guess.
Definitely.
I guess they would, yeah.
Yeah. It would be Spike TV is like, we're doing the OBL block all weekend.
And is that weird? Is it, maybe it's not wrong, but is it weird? It kind of seems weird, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. The night, what's it called? The Night Rider. That's the Mad Max guy, but the night killer, the California guy that killed everybody in the night that can't remember if he was the hot guy or not. You know what I'm talking about? The night bandit, the night something. Let's just look this
up. You're not talking about Nightcrawler, are you?
No.
Okay.
The California serial killer guy that died, like
the Golden State Killer, or whatever. Killer, that
yeah,
thing is?
Yeah. The Zodiac. It's not the. Maybe it's the Zodiac killer. Is it the same guy?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Anyway, one of those guys died kind of recently, and it's like,
okay,
would you put? Is it weird to put Zodiac on or whatever? All of the movies made about whichever guy I'm talking about that may or may not be the same.
I don't know. For somebody, it's not raising my hackles. At all, for some reason. I think it's like,
just a little weird.
Maybe
it's just because like they're bad guys, you know?
Wouldn't you do it for like? Well, maybe this is your point, but like, you know, if somebody beloved passes, and then you're like, well, here's all their movies.
Yes, that's what.
But it's like, it's relevant.
Normal.
But it's not like you're promoting and. Is it because is it about the making money off of the passing of somebody?
I'm not really thinking about it. This is more like a gut reaction, but I think that that's what it is. It's the like cashing in on the bad people thing, sort of. Like, oh, this bad person died, and by the way, we got a good movie on that. It just seems, I don't know. Maybe there's nothing wrong with it, but gut reaction is. Like,
I don't know.
It's a little
weird. I think it seems that stuff all seems better than the like. Rushing to make like a true crime thing and then like promoting it anytime a development happens. I mean, you hear they're doing a Jinx too?
Really? Did not know that. Is there more to the story?
They're coming back for, I guess.
In jail. And he goes to the back.
I don't know.
Like, oh, I shouldn't have lied about the last time I was on a hot mic, I shouldn't have lied about that. I really didn't kill her.
I shouldn't have been pretending. Yeah, I should have been fibbing on mic.
That's a good strategy in a courtroom.
Practicing my creative writing while
Your Honor,
being recorded.
We should got to get your dad back on to ask him this question. Your Honor, could I go to the restroom really quickly? And they're like, sure. And then you keep the mic on, and then it's just it's echoing really bad in the room, and you're just like, Ben, you got to pull it together. You know that you absolutely did not kill that person, and they're gonna get you. And you know deep down you absolutely did not do it, and you don't blame them for being mistaken so far, but you're going to go back in there and you're going to convince them.
That room is full of good people doing their jobs. The room is full of good people doing their jobs.
Yeah. Obviously, you wouldn't be lying.
I trust
you
to make the right decision.
You wouldn't be lying to yourself, talking to yourself where no one can hear you possibly in this courtroom bathroom right now. Mm-hmm. There's no reason I would be lying to myself.
It's just me by myself.
It's just me and God right now. And we both know I didn't do it. So you just got to get back in there and convince these people.
Yeah. halftime speech to yourself in the locker room. Yeah. I think that would definitely work. Because of course, as we know, they are mic'd up at all times. We got the windows open and it's making the door swing around. So if you hear the door slam, that's what's going on. And I'm sorry for that.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your mom's like too hot for? Like, well, you probably didn't.
Not knowing a whole lot about O.J. Simpson myself, but
maybe it was like, and he was a bad football player. That would be a hot take.
I think the serious answer to this is, I think like growing up and trying to, I don't know, not be a bad person or weirdo or something. I think it's like one of those things where you're like, oh, you hear, and you're like, you hear from people like, oh yeah, white people just hated O.J. Simpson. And you're like, okay, yeah, it sounds like probably the thing that was going on here was that this was like a celebrity trial that like basically split the U.S. along racial lines for big part. And you're kind of like, yeah, I'm gonna say that probably white people don't have a good track record on this one. So hearing my mom say, like, as a kid, like, any like O.J. Simpson's comes up, and she's like, oh yeah, I watched his Bronco chase and the speed thing, and like, he definitely killed his wife. Not really knowing any of the facts myself, kind of hearing this and thinking like, oh, I feel like this is a little suspect. Like,
right.
I'm just kind of, by the numbers, I'm gonna guess that maybe white people are in the wrong on this one. And then you grow up and you're like, it sounds like he kind of killed his wife.
Gotta hand it to and the other Whitey guy on this one.
Yeah. That's all it is. But like, I heard as a kid.
I hear you.
Over time, I'm like, I feel like I should be.
It was probably
embarrassed.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. My sense of it seems to be like, it was probably an opportunity. One of those, like, it was, an opportunity for, you know, the whites to get extra riled up, you know.
Probably, kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that part's not all true. Just like,
right.
Yeah.
I'm not accusing your mom of that. I think you can say that he did it and it not be a race thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I settled that. You know, like, God, geez, it's been 30 years. Finally, you know, someone comes along to settle it. Me.
I gotta say, nobody really talks about him from a football perspective, though. They only talk, I mean, which makes sense. I don't know why I'm saying this like it's crazy, but like, would he have been, I was thinking that to myself, would he have been that big?
How good of a football player would he have to be?
Because there's like, that's like if you're like, who was that guy from Texas A&M that like, the white guy quarterback that like, was really poorly behaved and got in a lot of trouble and stuff like that. And I think he might have kind of washed out in the NFL. You
know, Johnny Manziel?
I don't know. Is he a good player now? I don't watch the NFL, but
no, I think that he is like famously like Mr. Football or Johnny Football or whatever his nickname was. Like, he was famously way overrated as a college player and then
Was O.J. Simpson kind of like that too? Because people like, even when people are kind of joking around, they're like,
disagree with you on how people talk about, like, people are still talking about, like, yeah, but he was really good at football though.
Was
was
he a good NFL player?
Yeah.
Oh, he was. Okay. I really don't know. I really don't know. It just seems like I never hear people talk about the facts, I guess. I always, when I hear people bring up like, oh, he was a good football player, it's always like what you just said, where it's a little difficult to tell.
He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
He is. Okay.
Yeah.
How old was he? Already retired from the NFL at that point? I don't really understand that.
Because in the most touchdowns in a season, most rushing yard attempts in his career, most rushing yards in a season. He has like dozens of records.
Okay. I really don't know. He doesn't come, but I guess that's because it's overshadowed by the whole.
How much better of a running back could he have been to let that be his legacy?
Yeah. If Tom Brady, I don't watch the NFL again, I'll say it for like the 10th time, but if Tom Brady killed his wife now, I'm assuming he hasn't done that, but if he did that, I guess I feel like I would age knowing that, like, oh yeah, Tom Brady was like a very famous, extremely well-regarded football player, and then he killed his wife.
You don't have a point. It just hit me like, what?
What? Ray,
you probably
Wright.
Can't get good enough at football for that to overshadow any murders that you do.
No, but I'm saying, I'm just realizing that, like, because I watched or was around when he was a not wife killing guy, and he still isn't one, but I would know Tom Brady was a good football player. But to me, the only reason I know about O.J. Simpson is because he apparently didn't kill his wife and that other guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably the ultimately the takeaway from the guy's life, if you were not watching football at the time when he was really good.
Like Michael Vick. People know him as the dog fighting NFL guy now. But like, I knew Michael Vick before he was arrested for dogfighting or whatever. Uh-huh. So like, he's like a, you know, football
Bannon
player.
The talking head part of the documentary is like, you know, I know him before all that.
Or like Ray Rice,
the real Mike.
This Ray Rice guy, like, I knew that he was a football player, and then he's you know, he beat up his wife or girlfriend or other people in an elevator or something like that. I don't know. But O.J. Simpson was like, oh, that's the guy that killed, and then he also was a football player, and he maybe played for USC or something. I didn't know if he was a good college. I really didn't know. That's what I was getting at when you said 30 years ago, because in my mind, I don't really know about O.J. Simpson being a pro football player, because people bring up, is it USC or UCLA? Some California school. I think it's
USC.
And so I just think the only thing I know about football is OJ being at USC and probably being apparently a really good player there. And did he win the Heisman or something like that? And then I think so. They're like, oh, I don't know anything about his NFL career. So did he just go kill his wife like right after he graduated or something? And then, I don't know.
No,
because in which case he would only be in his 50s. So did he do a whole NFL career and then he killed his wife?
Yeah.
After he retired.
I don't know. I think so. I don't know the exact timeline. But it's a big deal because he was so good and he was like the biggest star, right?
Okay. The retiring part is crazy though, because that literally means that Tom Brady could go kill his wife now and then have a whole O.J. Simpson style saga for 30 more years before he dies. Like, when I saw O.J. Simpson died when he was like 70, he died when he was 77 or something like that, right? And that's like old. So this guy Fucking yeah, killed his wife when he's like.
Yeah, I guess 47. He. Yeah, I'm sure he retired because he would have been like 44. Or, yeah. Or like 46. Yeah. He definitely had been retired.
Yeah. So that's a lot of. I don't know what I'm getting at now, other than like Tom Brady.
Yeah. Still waiting to figure out what it is you're getting.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Basically, other than just being like, I guess I don't really know that much about the case. Is we're gonna
yeah
through all of this. But you know, best of luck to all involved on that front. I do have a sports question for you, Ben. I know you're not necessarily a huge baseball fan, but it seems like there's controversy out there. Well, first of all, if we're talking actual scandals, are you following any of the Shohei Ohtani stuff?
No, but you told me about it last week, I think, unless I dreamed that to myself.
No, I think I did.
Betting, because we talked about betting. Yeah.
Yeah. It does seem like, his interpreter is really...
Sorry, before we let it go, Pat, I just want to say, The Night Stalker is who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Earlier.
Don't know who that 15 is.
15 minutes ago. The walk-in killer, the valley intruder, American serial killer and sex offender whose crime...
He's got a whole string of, like, Bodega Boys AKAs on himself.
Yeah. Crime spree took place in California in June, from June 1984 until his capture in August 1985. His real name is Richard Ramirez. I know that there's a Sun Kill Moon song about Richard Ramirez died today, I believe is the name of the song. And that's what I was referring to earlier. So, Rich Ramirez.
Thank you. Okay. okay, I don't know. I just saw that people... I just wanted to stop talking about O.J. Simpson, honestly. Sorry. But the... no, the I'm seeing people... The balls and strikes. There's been some egregious calls here at the beginning of the MLB season, Ben. And the thing is, now we know for certain because we've got computers and such. We could let a robot call balls and strikes with perfect accuracy, but instead we have the umpire doing it. And
Socialist Baseball Administration is revoking your card, your red card. You're encouraging replacing umps.
I would like to outsource this AI. Too. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I don't even think it's AI. Fun. I think this is like measured.
Well, I mean, that'd be fun though to instead do it like with a fake company. One of these other AI scandals recently, where you find out like, oh yeah, the AI stuff didn't work.
it's just a bunch of umpires on Zoom.
Just a bunch of guys in India watching. Which is actually probably better.
Which is honestly that is how it is. Yeah. I mean, it is everybody's at home being like, "Hey, that's a it's a ball.
Come on,
ump." Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So balls and strikes. They don't. They're saying there's too many balls or too many strikes.
Well, I mean, either one is what's going on. Yeah. Do you feel a type of way on whether it should be like if we're able to have perfectly precise balls and strikes called by the computer, should that be like part of the game, or should it be like, oh no, you gotta have the human element, you gotta have an ump making calls out there?
I think the ump is fun, and it keeps things standard across the game too, because little kids aren't gonna have that. High school things aren't probably not going to have that,
Mm-hmm.
I suggest instead that everybody should get one of the things that they use for like wiffle ball, where you just have a little strike zone box, and all you got to do is get the thing in the little strike zone net. So there's no, maybe the catcher stands next to it or something like that, but you're thrown into a net. And if you get into the net, who cares if this guy's 7 feet tall or 4 feet tall? Whatever the
we all got the same zone, yeah.
Same zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think they should do, and I think they should replace the balls with wiffle balls instead, and the bats with wiffle ball bats.
I think you want to be watching wiffle ball.
Wiffle ball, professional wiffle ball would be
sounds like
pretty cool. I don't want to see home runs, to be honest. I want to see
wiffle that sounds ball. Really corny to me. Sounds bad.
And then you get to throw it at the people, right? I haven't played wiffle ball in a long time, but. You got to throw it at people.
I've never played wiffle ball.
Fantastic. It's a great game. It is not a pickleball. It is not a pickleball style. It kind of is, because I guess it's kind of what a pickleball is like, but it's not a pickleball style game where it's like a lamer version in theory of another.
It sounds like exactly what it is.
No, it's better. You get to throw the ball at the person, which is awesome.
That's all right. That part does sound all right. I'm worried that, not actually worried, but like it makes me think that, you know, if things were to change, it would probably be because of the ever rapidly expanding presence of the sports betting and like live sport, you know, like if they swapped over, it would be because like, you know, like, wow, this is really, you know, we got a bunch of people who are really mad where it's like obviously called balls and strikes and we got people betting on balls and strikes here. We got to be able to, I don't know, keep the sports books running.
I think if they do the AI thing or whatever, perfectly called thing,
mm-hmm.
I think they need to add another element of randomness. Like there's a little laser strike box square that only the pitcher can see, or at least the batter can't see it. And it like for every pitch, it just kind of like auto regenerates. Like sometimes it's a really tiny box or sometimes it's a really wide one. So you can pick your pitch, but they've got the counter, the shot clock now too, right? So mm-hmm. you can kind of call your pitch, but you've also got to make it, you know, probably risk making it fall in the strike zone as well. So I think that'd be cool. Just got to be a little bit more random. Got to add some more challenge to it if you're gonna
like when you're like recording or you're like if you're writing like music in Logic or whatever, you like put down some notes without performing it, you just like, you know, key it in or whatever, or click it in there, right? And then they're all sort of like this exact same velocity unless you like you have to manually go in and change all of that, right? And like it is perfectly lined up with every beat or, you know, division and all mm-hmm. that. But then you can like there are algorithms where you select all and just humanize it. It's like, it's literally what it's called. It's like humanize it. And they should do that with the balls and strikes is that there's a 2% chance it's just going to get it wrong.
Or just get like a robot to do the pitching instead too, but add like a, make it kind of like one of those, you probably know the name better than me, but one of those games where you have like limited resources and it's like, oh, you start the game with like, $10 and are you going to spend $2 to make this a 200 mile per hour fastball, or are you going to spend $1 sure. to make this a little slow 80 mile an hour curveball? I think they should do that, because otherwise you gotta have a limit, otherwise everybody's doing 500 mile an hour fastballs all the time.
That also is kind of a problem in baseball too, it seems like
everybody's throwing too fast.
Yeah, pretty much. Is that like the spin era that people are blaming Trevor Bauer, and I think that's all right. He's a good scapegoat.
Somebody didn't like my suggestion of wiffle ball a couple of minutes ago, and now saying that, oh, the baseballs are being thrown too fast.
But everyone's getting injured now.
They're getting thrown too fast. Maybe we should use a soft hollow ball with holes on half of the side of it. But also you can throw it at people because it's soft enough. Okay.
Yeah, I guess the problem is that like, turns out that the meta of it all is really comes down to like you're not gonna get a Greg Maddux anymore. It's gonna be like there's the best pitcher for all this is just throw really really hard, just like the harder the better, and there's no room for like a strategic placement.
You just gotta throw really anymore. Hard. Is that really true? I don't know.
Pretty much. I mean, like, obviously there's like other basic accuracies that you need to be able to, you know,
but everybody's just focused on fastballs now. Nothing else.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Like I was listening to a podcast where they're talking about how like high schoolers, you know, if you don't throw it in high school and then throw 97 in high school, then, don't bank on anything happening, you know, in college.
You fucking suck if you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's like, yeah, like it's fun in high school, but I mean, I guess like if you have like a clear demarcation, maybe you won't go ruin your life chasing it, I suppose, in that way. But like throwing 97 in high school is crazy to me. But then it's like, all about spin.
What are you throwing? Like walk backwards from there. What are you throwing when you're in like eighth grade if in high school you're throwing 97? I don't really know what would my throw be. Not like a lob, but if I was really trying to throw a fastball, what do you think it would be?
Dude, I think that's a great question. Like, what's the average?
I just really don't know. Am I throwing like 50? Yeah. I'm imagining a car driving.
I'm guessing it's in that range.
Okay.
An untrained adult male can throw a baseball at speeds ranging from 45 to 65 miles an hour.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to say I'm on the 65 level and not the 45 level. No, yeah. Okay. This seems reasonable. Yeah. Throw twice as fast as a car driving in front of my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Because you're like, at least maybe I'm relying on outdated info here. But I mean, reason that like I have a torn rotator cuff is because I was thrown too hard too early, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or you know, maybe I was also throwing wrong, didn't have a good grasp of the mechanics and such. But it going from like so it's like until you like are, I don't know, more. You get like more muscle on you and stuff as when you're a teenager and stuff. You're like not really supposed to be pushing yourself, right? Until like you get to a certain point and you have enough muscle and then you can start doing that kind of thing. And so like the time between, so like you're 11, 12, 13, 14, like you should probably be taking it pretty easy. And so to go from like taking it like kind of easy and just like all that to like be like 18 throwing 97 miles an hour, mm-hmm. That's crazy. You have such a short ramp up period to be hitting speeds like that.
And that's apparently just to be making the cut. That's the
apparently. That's the meta right now. Yeah.
Don't give up on baseball cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With no guarantee of like where that leads. That's just like, yeah, the baseline at this point.
Yeah.
Which is so nuts.
Interesting. Interesting. I wonder what they do this for running. I assume they would do it for baseball too. Do you know what the theoretical maximum is for a human?
Maximum. Yeah. I think it's like around 110.
Wait, what? You can't throw. I thought people threw faster than 110.
It's like in that range though. Okay.
Okay.
No, you're good point. Let me double check this. Because I mean, I know Aroldis Chapman has the record, and it's in that. I think we've done this on the show before, but we've got 106 miles per hour has a speed that has been only topped twice since baseball started recording pitch velocities. I think there's this interesting documentary where like they went back and they found that like Nolan Ryan probably hit the fastest. Okay, yeah, I'm scrolling down here. We got Nolan Ryan with 108.1 mile per hour reading. And then there's this documentary that's about like the fastest pitch ever. And then they go back to this and then they're like, okay, it was recorded at 108.1 miles an hour, but like the way they were recording it, like if they were recording it with today's technology, it would actually be like faster, or maybe this is the faster version or something, you know, like maybe they like recorded that night in the ballpark and it was like 97. And then they went back and like, actually it's 108. So, but I think that's, I don't know.
So that's a human maximum, but do we know a theory? Because I think the thing that they do in like running is like, imagine that basically like, imagine a human has got the guts, more or less, the stamina to move their legs as fast as possible. And then they basically just figure out like, how fast could a human move their legs? And forget about anybody in practice doing it. Theoretically, how fast could you move your legs? And then therefore, like, how fast could a human theoretically run a mile or run a marathon, mm-hmm. or something like that based off of that? Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, yeah, is there something like that for baseball? Or is it the same number?
It is. There's this Wired article, why it's almost impossible for fastballs to get any faster. Like, we're pretty much maxed out.
Okay.
With pitching mechanics and all of that. And it's interesting, which I guess it kind of makes sense then, to where like, if we know the limit is like, we're basically kind of there and you're going to get like, mm-hmm. an Aroldis Chapman every once in a while, we can like get it to that point, then like, I guess that is why you would only be taking people who can display the ability to get it that fast. Or I don't know.
Why? But well, doesn't that mean to become better, you will have to be able to do that?
That's true.
Plus something else. Like you'll have to be able to throw 110 mile an hour curveball.
Yo.
I don't know. I don't know much else. Yeah. But yeah. Because otherwise, if everybody can throw 110 mile an hour, if everybody can throw 110 mile an hour fastball, and that's basically the human theoretical maximum, everybody's just going to learn to hit 110 mile an hour fastball.
I so think, to be a better pitcher. But I think the point is that like you basically can't do that.
You can't hit it.
Like it's it as I think that's why we're starting to get these little like nip and tucks in the regulations around the edges with like the pitching clock or whatever to like prevent it from for prevent people from just getting up there and throwing 110 mile an hour fastballs over and over again and just getting unlimited strikeouts, that kind of thing. And like you also get the like you can only have so many pitchers or you know different like regulations on that is because that the human eye and all of that, like we're already kind of past the point where science can I'm so bullshitting here. I am so you could just tell. I didn't even check myself.
Yeah.
Let me. I'll wind this back a little bit. Let me say.
No. I want you to complete that sentence. We're beyond the point where science can't explain.
I'll say it with my chest.
Okay.
Yeah.
why people can hit a baseball? I'm
just pretty much.
I don't know
at that speed. At that speed, okay. Like the human eye and be able to like register and process everything that like a pitch coming at you that fast from that distance is like you're already. We're already to the point where like you're not if you're connecting with it and you're making like good contact with it, there's something else going on besides just you're tracking it with your eyes and putting your bat into it.
Like, you're getting there's lucky, other sort of
or intuition or like the strategy of like where you're on the pitch count or like something about like you know. Just the gut, the hitter's gut or something like this slugger's instinct is in there. Something about the windup or like, you know, I think we're at that point. Cause you're not actually just like being able to like do a pure response to how fast that fast of a fastball.
Because I would think like theoretically you could hit anything by just bunting.
Right? Just start your swing before they even wind up. If it's going to come at it. At
until you're at the point of breaking bat, like, pitches breaking bats, guess. Yeah.
Which obviously does happen.
Make me the MLB commissioner. I'll throw some new ideas. I was just about to throw out. Maybe they should just let them go back to metal bats in the major leagues.
Oh, boy.
Just like it's a T-ball style thing. Metal bats everywhere. Probably get dented up, you know, but that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it as violent as possible. Everything is 110 mile an hour fastball, strike, or a home run.
Yeah.
That's what the fans want. Or they should own...
Do you ever hit a... Hold the aluminum bat and it hits it in the wrong spot and like just vibrates your hands and so painful?
Yeah. I remember that.
Remember hitting the wrong spot at 110 miles an hour?
I quit baseball. Breaking your wrist. I quit baseball partly because like it doesn't go well with golf, but also I had a really bad the last baseball game I ever played. I still kind of remember it, I guess, because it's the last one I ever played. I got hit by three pitches from like between like the two guys that were my age that ended up being like the varsity pitchers like forever, like as soon as they were freshmen. And they were like the two guys that like could throw. I mean, I don't know how fast it was, but like it seemed like crazy fast. They're like the guys that turned into. I was in fourth grade.
They were the serious. And they were serious about it.
Well, and they were the guys that they're the fourth graders that somehow turned into men between fourth grade and fifth grade. Yeah. But they both hit me. One of the guys hit me twice.
This kid has a goatee.
Third time. Yeah. And in the ribs, and I didn't.
Damn,
I don't think I didn't break anything, but I bled, and I had like a black.
Rib cage. God!
I had like a black rib cage. Rest of the summer.
Damn!
I was like, nah, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't even like baseball.
Yeah, that sucks. I don't think I ever got hit by a pitch I was really bad
sure
at hitting. I mean, and pitching. I was really bad, but like I was scared too. Like
I was scared big time. I got hit by multiple pitches, but I literally would do the thing where I'm like doing a little cheer to myself if the coach didn't put me in the lineup. You know, I'm like, fuck.
Yes.
I just get to sit here. Yes. And if they put me in the lineup, I'm like, no, please. I'm like literally counting down the guys in front of me. Like, okay, if you strike out and you strike out, then I don't have to hit again. You know,
yeah.
I don't have to go up to bat, or like, this guy's not going to strike out, but there's still like three guys behind him and we've got like two outs left. So like, I'm feeling like
good for another marginal 20 minutes.
Yeah. I can not have to. Yeah. Hit.
Ugh, yeah, that's a bad feeling. I forgot what I was gonna say about any of that. Oh, did you see the guy who got, it was like the first game of the season, in the college game, where the guy got hit by seven different pitches at seven at bats, like no. In the course of a doubleheader, like that sucks. They played two games and a team got hit by pitch seven times.
That sucks.
Different pitchers, just over and over again. That's not good.
But it's college, so they're like respectful, right? So he probably didn't like. Do people charge the mound anymore? I guess I don't really even know about that stuff.
You don't really see it.
Gotta do that.
Oh, I think you kind of stare him down.
Stare him down. Thing. No, I think they should do another thing. They should have aerial coverage, not video coverage. You should be able, they should add new outfielders that are wearing like jetpacks, or they're like the little winged turtle guys like in Mario or something like that, where they're just kind of like floating up there. Or you've got some other like aerial defense mechanism in this era.
We're putting the Iron Dome on Yankee runs. Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. They should do that if everybody's going to be hitting home runs and throwing 100 mile an hour fastballs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the like the clips of, I think it's like the MLB app or something, or like maybe it's the TV app, where like it's not, you don't get a feed of the game, but what they're doing is like, I don't know if they're tracking everybody on field or they're somehow imaging it with computer vision or something, but you see like little, it's like PS1 polygon reenactments of stuff like what's going on live with the game. It's super weird, and it seems, I don't get why anyone would like that.
Humans or balls or what's happening?
Humans, yeah. There's like it's like little weird stick figure joint things that show you like little track it, like how he swings and where the pitch is and everything. But like it'll be everybody on field, and it looks very bad. It seems like a very bad experience. But nice. Like when there are like events where like, you know, the bench is clear, or like there's, you know, a run in at second, like sliding into second, and like a bunch of people come over, if there's a lot of like clipping and like T-posing and like everyone's like standing on top of each other and stuff. To me, that's good stuff.
These stick guys all the time?
Yes.
So you're just watching a game, but everybody's overlaid with a stick figure of themselves.
Well, no, it's like if you can't get to a TV, if you can't get to a feed,
yeah.
What's happening is like it's somehow drawing it based on the stats and locations. That's it's less of a data stream than video or something. It's just, or I don't know what deal is.
Where do you watch it? You watch it on a website?
I think just like in the app.
So it's like in you like don't have MLB to. App. So it's like if you're in a blackout zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could
watch
the stick guys instead.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
It seems like a really bad experience and I don't get it, but
that's a weird,
it's funny to see the,
that seems like a weird legal workaround for the blackout things.
Yeah, so like I'm like recreating it based off the like the reverb in the radio broadcast. I'm gonna be able to like sonically image everything and be able to perfectly recreate it.
We're not, we're not showing them the real game. We're just gonna show them the PS. Well, in a couple of years, maybe the PS5 version of the game. So it looks like you're watching MLB The Show or something like that.
Yeah,
interesting.
And it did make me think like, no matter how good that technology gets, it will never make sense to why you would watch that
instead of the real thing. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. Cool.
Because I was thinking, like, okay, if that does scratch an itch, why wouldn't you just have, like, simulated games that you start playing?
Yeah. Okay, before we run out of all of the time, I think we were going to talk about betting, another betting scandal. Did you tell me about that yet?
Oh, it's the same one. It's the same.
Okay.
The interpreter seems to be... The interpreter was turning off Otani's, like, bank notifications, like in the app, and then he transferred up to $16 million to himself.
I didn't learn anything else. The interpreter stole from him.
I guess to
gamble on him.
Yeah,
and are people they're sure about that? They're sure it's not like, oh yeah, my guy, he just, I wasn't betting on myself. It was the interpreter. He took my phone.
It does seem like that was the initial, like, he's obviously the fall guy here, right? You get one guy to take the fall, and it's part of this bigger thing. But it does seem to be the case that, no, that is kind of what was going on. Like, it was just like this one guy. And the thing that was getting me, too, was like how bad he was at gambling. Like, even like with the inside knowledge, or maybe that's just, maybe this is a good object lesson in like... Just a reminder, probably don't gamble on anything ever. Yeah. Because that, like, the edge is so far away, like the odds are so far away from being in your favor, is that even if you have inside knowledge, like, you still end up being in the hole. Even if you have $16 million to play with, like, you'll still lose money, even if you have, the inside scoop. But like the texts that were being uncovered from all this were funny too. Like, the interpreter's literally texting the book, and he's like, hey, I know I'm bad at, or I'm really bad at gambling, LOL. let me say that straight up. But you know I'm good for it. Ha ha. Can you spot me another one? kind of thing.
Nice. Very strange. Was this guy, like, in the hole and trying to get out of it so that he could pay back Shohei Ohtani before he noticed? Was that a thing happening too? Or was this guy just, like, you know, didn't really care about
it? I don't know. I've gotten over my skis too many times this episode for me to say exactly. And I'm not really following with that closely, so who knows?
Very strange. Yeah. Can I tell you about the two, speaking of the opposite of sports, it's getting sweating and being active and bettering yourself as a person. Can I tell you about the two movies I saw this week?
Yeah.
I saw two movies. I would double featured on Friday night, which once again completely confused the workers there for some reason. They're like, you're watching two movies? What do you mean? I got two tickets in a row, but they were very confused. I saw Civil War.
Ooh.
And I also saw Monkey Man.
I want to hear about both.
Yes. I will say, I went into Civil War with extremely low expectations, but I figured it would probably be, like, watchable, you know? Like, I'm not going to go see a movie that I think is going to be completely awful, but, like, I have pretty low expectations for it. And I went into Monkey Man with probably, like, I would say, pretty moderate, moderate, middle of the road to slightly positive expectations, right? And Civil War came out pretty much, like, right in the middle. I would say I enjoyed my time. I'm probably not going to watch
it. That sounds thematically appropriate.
Yeah. It was very... I'm just, like, going to contradict myself, but, like, it was pretty fun to watch. Like, it's not a good movie. And again, like, I'm probably not going to watch it again, but, like, I'm glad I have the knowledge of, like, what it is and what happens. And if you get the chance to watch it, especially if you you know, you could see it in a theater. It's probably going to suck if you watch it at home, but if for some reason you change your mind...
It's way more of a horror movie than it might appear. Is that true?
I would not call it a horror movie. It is... I mean, it's like... It's not like a goofy war movie or something like that, but it definitely not a horror movie, I would say. It's got Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, a.k.a. Pablo Escobar with the hat from Narcos. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's got, I'm looking up her name, Kaylee Spaney, who I didn't know who she was. She's fine, though. And it's got Nick Offerman as the president, which sounds kind of stupid. That Stephen McKinley guy, who is the, he's one of the priests in Lady Bird, and then he's also the weird guy that rolls his eyes back in the first Dune movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, okay. Sure, yeah.
And somewhere in it, it's got a famous child actor, Jesse Plemons, which you already know if you've seen the trailer.
Yeah, and we talked about this last week pretty extensively. So I'm curious what your...
Yeah, it was... I'm trying to think what I can say without, like, it's not really going to spoil anything. But, like, for one, I probably seemed like I've never seen a movie before. I don't know if they just had the volume turned up or they just mixed it this way. But, like, there are quite a few solitary gunshots throughout the movie, you know, that I reacted to like a jump scare every single time and, like, literally, like, throwing popcorn in the air. And there was a guy who sat right next to me. And I can't thank him for not saying anything to me and not appearing to be annoyed. But it's difficult to imagine that he probably wasn't, you know, that he was probably annoyed. Yeah. Like, I was seriously doing that every single time there's a gunshot. And it's like a war. It's a sort of a war movie. It's super surprising to have a gunshot in a movie called Civil War, but every single time. And they're only like maybe like 10 minutes spread out from one another, but it got me every single time. I'm telling you some more things that I wrote in my Letterboxd review, but like I think they're interesting. I learned that this guy, what's his name? Alex Garland, the director, who I think he directed Ex Machina?
Yep.
Yeah. He apparently...
Do you not remember that we talked about like a lot of this last week?
Well, I know, but I'm just recapping for all the million new listeners.
Sure, yeah, we got a huge bump.
The come and see thing is pretty funny to me, that he got his whole cast and crew to watch Come and See, and like I think kind of like under the pretense of like, this is what we're making, guys. Have you seen Come and See, by the way?
No, but I know about
You're familiar, yeah. Yeah, this is not a come and see style movie. not at all. I don't mean that as a diss or anything, but like thematically, emotionally, just historically, the fact that this is not a historical movie, it's not come and see. I feel like he just kind of screened a good movie for them, which seems like a nice thing to do as a director.
Yeah.
But yeah, not really any connection there. Yeah, it's like obviously a role reversal. I mean, like, I think that's what this guy said. It's like, oh, it's like making like a war exploitation movie, except doing it about America this time, where you treat it like we said last week, like there's no political context or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Which is, I was thinking about that as I started watching it. And then the funny, like, if you think of that as being like, yeah, this movie's like holding up a mirror to America. I would say that this movie is literally the best example of a movie holding up a mirror to myself that I've ever seen, because about 10 minutes into the movie, they cut to
Jesse Plemons.
There I am. They cut to they're like parking in like a big parking lot outside of a JCPenney's or something like that. I was like, that JCPenney's, it kind of looks familiar. Which is weird because I don't go to JCPenney's. I was like, what the heck? And then they cut away. And then I realized that they're showing this thing that's supposed to be like an abandoned mall. And I realized, and then they show an AMC theater. And I'm like, wait, that's me. That's I'm at that theater right now. That's the theater we're in. The theater that we're in is in the movie. So big.
That's so funny. They actually do that for every theater. They have a different cut, and they have a different drone shot of every theater in America.
So against all odds, I will give this guy the major thumbs up on saying this is the best example of media holding up a mirror to me that I've ever seen. That by far, that's really stuck with. What stuck with me. Last thing that I will say is that yes, there's no overt political there's no politics or like political like ethos like given to any of the characters or many different sides or factions or whatever in this movie represented by the different states and breakaway countries and stuff like that. In this movie, but that is not to say that this is some like centrist thing or something like that. Maybe it is, but not for that reason. Because instead, I think everybody who watches this movie will find yourself smiling by the end.
Something for everyone, fun for the whole family.
I'm gonna say it. Sorry, I don't think this is really spoiling anything. It's pretty clear from the beginning. But they kill the president, and I would say the funny thing, very fun, imaginative thing is that like if there's any political message that you kind of get that they kind of get you behind as the viewer in this movie is like killing this very generic Nick Offerman president. That's really the only like political, they don't really push for it.
Scouring it for a takeaway, the only takeaway thing is
everyone can get behind killing Nick Offerman, the president. It's pretty funny.
You're selling me on this.
Two more things that I want to say here, because one of them I think I can explain better here than I could in my Letterboxd review. But in the Jesse Plemons thing that you see in the trailer, right? People see in the trailer, he's like, "Where are you from?" And they're like, "Oh, we're American." And then he like thinks and he's like, "Oh, but what kind of American?" And you realize, oh shit, these guys are in trouble. And one of them says like, "Oh, I'm from Florida," and there's another one that's like, "I'm from Missouri," and then another one from Colorado. And then there are two other guys with them. I'm gonna try not to give this part too much away. Two other guys with them that are ethnically Chinese. And Jesse Plemons kills one of the guys right away. And then the other guy is like freaking out and he's like, "Where are you from?" And the guy's just like babbling like a baby. You know, he can't get the words out. And he finally comes to and he's like, I'm from Hong Kong. And then Jesse Plemons says, "Okay, so you're Chinese." And then he shoots him. And the obvious, the obvious thing that's going on here is that Jesse Plemons is killing people that aren't American.
Yeah.
I found myself not laughing out loud. I'm not a Joaquin Phoenix Joker man just yet, but found myself laughing because the way that Jesse Plemons says it, in my mind, the implication of killing the Hong Kong guy is that Jesse Plemons actually really respects one China policy. And so when the guy's like, "I'm from Hong Kong," and then Jesse Plemons is like, "You're Chinese." And then he kills him. Yeah. It's like, you're actually, you're Chinese.
He's taking a stance on that. Yeah.
He is actually, yes, part of the Chinese Liberation Army in America in this movie. I don't know if that comes through at all, but I thought that was
they chose Hong Kong in that follow up line deliberately, like this, so I bet you're not wrong. I bet there's something.
I think so.
something in it.
I mean, I think I probably am wrong, which is why it's funny to me, but I like to imagine that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there's also Monkey Man.
Yes, Monkey Man. So I went to Monkey Man after. I ended up in a really good theater for it, which was nice, but it is great. I think you should you're not ironically watching Civil War, but like very sincerely, highly recommend this. This is, yes, one of the best movies I've seen this year. This is one of the best movies I've seen this decade, I would say.
Wow.
Let me say that. I don't know if people are going to agree with me on that. I could be the one standing on my own on this, but I think it is, yeah, really good. My eyebrow raised a little tiny bit, not too long into the movie, though. I'm kind of retconning this a little bit, but it did happen. Just the timing isn't going to quite make sense. I raised my eyes a little bit a couple of minutes into the movie when one of the characters name drops John Wick and the John Wick movies as being good. And I immediately thought to myself, like, that seems like a damning, like, you know, like doom-ish line
possible,
for this movie.
Like potential violation of the MST3K rule.
Yes.
Don't remind people of a better movie.
Exactly. Movie. Exactly. Yes.
Better be able to pull this off. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think this might be better than... actually, I'll hold myself back. I'm not going to say that it's better than specific John Wick movies or better than all the John Wick movies or something like that. But I will say this...
But are you putting all John Wick movies in your top movies of the decade?
No. Well, they're not all this decade, to be clear. But John Wick 4 is...
Oh, of the 2020s?
John Wick 4
is the last 10 years.
There.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Of the 2020s.
Gotcha.
This like skips over John Wick 1 and 2 and 3. And it just like... It's like it immediately goes from like scratch to like John Wick 4, if you want to stick with that comparison. Because it's like... It's incredible how good the action and how like energetic this movie is. It is
that rules. I love to hear this.
Yeah, yeah.
Dev Patel has the juice.
Yes, which is really
that rules.
I don't know. I feel a little bad saying it, but like kind of surprising to see like he's not directed that much stuff. He hasn't been in that many movies either, but like. This is a
I kind of thought this was his directorial debut. Is this has he directed other stuff?
I thought I looked afterwards. No, I think you're right that it is. Yeah, I think he's done some shorts or something. But
gotcha.
I was looking afterwards, and the thing that I was more surprised by is like, he's not in that many movies. I'm looking at Letterboxd now. He's been in 23 films. I mean, he's been in a lot of big ones. I mean, starting with like Slumdog Millionaire.
He's a guy who like. I wouldn't say he's not overrated, but he has huge cred for it. Yeah, like per title. I don't know. Like he's
But even like when I'm looking at this, I mean, he was in the awful M. Night Shyamalan Last Airbender and stuff like that. Like he's got some, he's in a lot of movies that like we don't know about. They're not household names, but like he's got a big name now, you know?
That's great.
But
that's
anyway,
great to hear. I love that.
Really, and it's like, okay, probably somebody's gonna correct me on this. Our millions of listeners in India will correct me on this. But like, this seems like a very. I think he did write. It says story by Dev Patel. I'm guessing there's probably. Maybe I'm wrong, but probably some like, what's the right word? Inspiration from other things, you know, like in if you do a movie about.
Nah, I think this movie fell out of a coconut tree. I bet it does not exist within the context of anything that came before it.
yeah. But it seems extremely unique to me, which is great, very fun. I don't even know what to say, like other than like it's directed really well. He's a really good actor. It's a really unique and fun story to me, but more than anything, I'm just like blown away by like
how good the action is for a first-time director who's also not like, he's not like Jackie Chan or something like that, right? Dev Patel.
Right.
A lot of people know Dev Patel, but he's not like, oh, Dev Patel, the Kung Fu master or something like that, you know?
Right. Damn, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it a lot. Yeah. And it looks...
That's great. Yeah. I remember the buzz about it was really hot right when like the first trailer dropped and all that. And I was like, oh my God, this is an automatic must watch. And yep. Then there was some of there was that, like, I don't know if you're following any of the weird, like, things that they had to do in specifically in like the color correction of this to like for the on the to be politically distinct from like Hindu nationalism.
Oh,
like the part of that, yeah, like they've had to like change colors of signs and like things like that.
Yeah.
I
mean, that makes sense. It's like, even for me being a dumb American or whatever, like the inspiration, I don't know, what's the right word? This is obviously saying a lot about the caste system, which was maybe a stupid thing for an American person to say, because people would say that about a lot of Indian movies too, but it has a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
Clearly about like the current state of Indian politics and their current president, mm-hmm. Modi, and a lot to say about like pretty clearly Hindu nationalism as well, or at least a lot to say about things that involve all of those things.
Right. Yeah. Know? And I think the sort of like the thing that some people are disappointed are is that like the sort of, oh, we're, you know, they needed to like it was originally the orange or whatever of, and then they just made it red so like they can get play in India or something like that. And then, but that's the only really things that I've heard about it, but that's so great to hear that it kicks ass.
It's really, people talked about this is a Jordan Peele monkey paw production or whatever too.
He just bought it, right? Like
bought the thing. Yeah. I mean, I assume.
So it's not like he was,
I mean, I
wrote it or anything.
I don't know either, but I've just seen people make a lot of hay about that, which is just, yeah. I would not do the same myself. No disrespect or anything to them, but like, this is very much like a unique thing. This is not like, you would be foolish to go into this. And I feel like from what I've seen people say and the amount of, you know, the bringing up who it's produced by and Jordan Peele and stuff like that. And everybody has their dumb ideas about like, oh, Jordan Peele's involved. This is going to be another Get Out or something like that. If you are inclined to have a baby brain and think that way, I think you will be happily
think
surprised.
Again, baby.
Think again, I guess, but you'll be happily surprised to find that this movie is extremely unique. It is not following, I guess what I'm getting at is, it's not following any kind of like house style or something like that. It is not following any sort of like parallels to the storytelling or movie making or like rhetorical style of other movies Jordan Peele has been involved with or something like that. This seems to be a fully, you know, Dev Patel joint.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's great. And I think the story it goes is just that, like, yeah, Jordan Peele saw it because this is something that like Dev Patel has been trying to make for years, right? And like nobody wanted to pick it up or like all this stuff, and like some eventually it was like, well, you'd probably get it straight to streaming, but then like Peele saw it and thought, you know, personally, like, no, this deserves, you know, a theatrical release kind of thing, and like I'll get involved on that front to help that.
You will not,
that's great,
you will not, this is not a movie that has like a bunch of twists and turns or something like that. In some ways it is what it quickly reveals itself to be. But it is just as like
part and parcel of the story being creative and unique, the way that it unfolds is extremely unique as well. And so though it's not like twists and turns, you will not find yourself guessing what is going to happen next or knowing exactly how something is going to play out because you're a person who's seen other movies before or read, you know, has some certain degree of media literacy. And it's not because it's trying to buck all trends be the antithesis of all like stereotypes, which instead sort of often just makes your media, whatever, just like might as well just be doing all of the stereotypical things. This is very unique. You won't know what's going to happen next. You won't expect what people are going to say or how they're going to react or whatever, even exactly how or when the movie is going to end.
Interesting.
Highly nice. Recommend. Last thing I'll say, just to drive the point home even further, there are not a lot of movies that I watch nowadays where I think to myself, even the ones that I really like, there are exceptions, but like not a whole lot of movies that I think to myself like, oh, I definitely want to get this on like Blu-ray or 4K or something like when it comes out. Like I like, for example, I liked Oppenheimer a lot. I'll watch it again. I liked Killers of the Flower Moon. I'll definitely watch it again. Maybe those are things that I'll buy on Blu-ray or something in the future. It's not the thought that I had walking out of those movies. Walking out of this one, I was like, I cannot wait to buy this.
I need to own this
at home. Yeah.
Cool. That's great. I'll briefly jump into my movie corner really, really quickly though. I've been trying to, you know, watch more documentaries, and I watched 2 5-star documentaries this week.
Nice.
I rewatched Minding the Gap and Harlan County, USA this week.
Okay.
Which was, that was a first time watch for me.
Nice.
And yep, both really, really great. Really great movies.
Minding the Gap.
Highly recommend.
What's that?
That is a, it's a documentary about a group of skateboarding friends in Rockford, Illinois. And it's kind of like a coming of age and about each of them. And it's the documentarian who's part of the group. He, Bing Liu is his name, but yep. It's him trying to make sense of the domestic violence that he witnessed growing up and talking to, you know, his friends that he knew. And I initially watched it because a guy I worked at the warehouse with was part of the friend group when it came out.
Oh.
And it just kind of was like, oh yeah, like I was in like the Oscars reel, because it was like up for an Oscar. Like Dave is just like in some of the shots, like what they showed at the Oscars. He like kind of like casually dropped it. Like, oh shit, I should check this out. And then it completely knocked me over. It came out in 2018. I was in my early 20s then, and you know, got a lot out of it then. Now that I am 30, watching it, it like hit in such a, it hit in a different way, but like 100 times harder too. I don't know.
Mm.
It's like, be careful with the kind of man you become, kind of thing is what's, you know, raising for me. And it's really remarkable. And then, yeah. Harlan County, USA, miner strike in the 70s.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. You know, like the documentary that I'm making is about union struggle, right? And it's made me like, all right, hold on. I need to go do something like drastic this. You know, like I need to get something hardcore on film for this really quick.
Yeah.
One second. Yeah.
Nice. I've added them to my watch list.
Mm.
But I'm also reminded, apropos of none of this, listeners will be devastated to find out that I will be gone
for next week, I think. Possibly the next week.
Oh, damn.
After that, I'm going to China. Before I go, let me say on the record, one China all the way. Assuming that's what they still like in Beijing. If they don't, tell me how many Chinas and I'll wear it on a t-shirt when I come through.
It's the same Biden response. Hey, Biden, how many genders, how many Chinas?
At least one.
Three. Yeah. You get in trouble with that. All right. Well, best of luck. I just got a picture from Zoe of my dog in the kiddie pool out in the yard, so I need to go see nice. That because it seems really cool for her to be there. Happy 30th birthday to Zoe.
Happy birthday.
My lovely wife. It's on Tuesday.
I didn't know, but I will apologize to Zoe. I'm sorry. If I knew it was your birthday, I wouldn't have brought up OJ Simpson for the first half of this episode. I would have said happy birthday up front. Happy birthday now.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You'll get a Dr. Skeleton next week, even if Ben will be elsewhere. All right. Goodbye.